Blog Talk Radio.
Dennis Lattis. Dennis Lattis. Dennis Lattis. Dennis Lattis. Let's go. Let's go. Segment, man, but you know what, this is what we're gonna do here.
I'm gonna go ahead and play this little song here, my boy Yamah, reminisce, and then I'm gonna get back to my girl Jerry Terry, man. So y'all sit back, man. I'm gonna get y'all in.
Hey, it's the homie Yamah. We doing this one for Chi-Town, man. My city. Chi-Town, man. Side of the shot, the same land of Twister and the crew do it down. Well, R. Kelly had it bumping y'all with that role play and crucial conflict in the club smoking on hay. It's the land of Shot Town, so you know how we get down. Just sit back and relax, homie, and listen to the sound. We were lost, now we found, so homie, don't get clowned. If you not respecting my city, I'm gonna come around. The first thing on our mind is get the dough and that's it. And you can tell a cat from the shower, but you can't tell them. I admit, cause in the shot, yo, we got our own swag. And every person in Chicago thinks they do. And even though they gangbang, we got so much in common. We just trying to protect our neighborhoods like Batman and Robin. Once you get the shot started, it ain't no way to stop them. I'm a representative of the shots, they go get them. I got them. You're mine. East of the shot, my whole crew, man, we thought we would fly. Come on and give us a try and find out that you're on the wrong side. We're jumping in love with, come on, it's time to take us a ride. South side, west side, who knows who the best? And even though we different, got our mutual respect. Cause at a very young age, you learn to stand on your feet. Can't stop a brother from Chicago when it's time to eat. Yeah, death before the honor. And when it's time to eat, we take bites just like piranhas and chill up in the sauna. And when the fall hits, that's when we stack chips on the west end of Zimbo. Remember, I Zimbabwe has a tendency to get rid of enemies. We need to stop all the killing, cause y'all killing me. I'm trying to do deals, so shut down, please chill. How we gonna make deals if that's how y'all feel? Come on. In the name of love with our sisters, cause in the shot, we just looking for love. Take the microphone, finally, I got something to hug. And use my vocal, of course, to send a message to the Lord. It's gritty, like Father, why it's so hard in the city? And why'd you place us in the heart of the city? But I got some street sense, so I guess it makes sense. And it smells like incense, so sweet. Homie, man, don't sleep. And Shot Town in these mean streets, cause when that coat's slipping, that's when they'll creep. But in the summers when we come together, cause we got better weather. And we do our barbecue thing and put away the sweaters. The cheddar comes off and we stack green like Boston. And try to make sure that we don't end up in coffins. In Shot Town we have no fear, cause staying alive in the shot is a job here. Yeah. Kiki Palmer, D Rose, once for Chi-Town, man. Dwayne Wade, it's Yamah. Shout out to Common. Shout out to Psycho Drama, Kanye West, Lupe Fiasco. Rest in peace, Bernie Mac. Shout out to Bump, the Brat, Pico, Final Lover Collect, Extra, Genesis, Pay Good Energy, Peanut, Slickology, Valentino, 107.5, 92. All the radio stations that be bumping my shit. Make this sound quadruple, quadruple platinum. It's Yamah, man.
Okay, I let that slide. I forgot he had that little 92-point, the 107 stuff, you know what I mean? But you know what? That's okay. We all in the same thing, man. You know, we all in the same thing. So, man, okay, without further ado, man, I'm just going to go ahead and bring my boy in. You know, he's a comedian. You know, so certain things he's going to say is going to be hilarious. Certain things he's going to say is going to be real. But one thing I know about this little brother, man, he have a lot of little, you know, he got a little, I want to say a nice little politictional mind frame, or he think outside the box. Matter of fact, he throws the box away. You know what I'm saying? So without further ado, man, I'm just going to bring my boy in. My boy, L. Biller. LB,
you on?
Biller?
What's going on? Can you hear me?
What's up, boy? I hear you loud and clear, bro.
That's what's up.
How you doing, man?
Man, I can't complain, man, out here, you know, working, trying to stay afloat in this cruel world that we live in, you know. But, you know, God first, everything second, you know. So
that's right.
How I'm doing.
That's right, man. Well, man, look, man, I'm going to go and get this straight to the point. Actually, you know what I'm going to do? Tell me a little bit about yourself, LB. You know, you're my co-host, man. You know, you call in whenever you can, and, you know, we laugh, we giggle, man. So let the world know what you do, man. What all is it?
Well,
you know,
I'm a general contractor. I can do handyman work, but I'm a general contractor. I rehab commercial residential property. And I've been doing it for the past 10 years, and, you know, through all this ups and downs, you know, housing markets, so on and so forth, and I'm still here. I'm still surviving. The thing that I find kind of hard in my profession of what I do, by me being a black man, is that blacks work against each other in what I do. We are quick to hire every other nationality to come in and do work in our neighborhood. And at the end of the day, they take our money and go somewhere else to benefit their family.
Wow. Oh, okay.
And, you know, it was just a recent experience where I had someone call my phone, and I was recommended. But I was only recommended to do an invoice for them. They wanted me to rewrite an invoice for an insurance claim that they had on their home. And I said, well, who did the work? Young lady told me, some Polacks. Okay, you know, I'm not a racist person, but, you know, I really got to sit back and do this math, you know. So she says, well, the Polacks. I said, so, but I do tuck pointing. I do roofing. I handle anything about a house. You know, why didn't you call my phone, you know? Well, you know, black to this and black to that. You know, I hear you. I understand you, you know. But we as a culture can't get anywhere else if you're feeding other nationalities.
Okay. Well.
But it's the West.
Go ahead. I'm listening. Can you hear me? Okay, I guess something that happened, I guess. LB, can you hear me? Okay. Well, I guess we'll get back with him in a minute, man. It's crazy, man, with these cell phones, man. You pay all this money for these cell phones, man, and they shut you down. It's crazy. But anyway, man, I guess he was saying the word Polak. I guess that means Polish. So. LB, the word Polak means Polish, right?
Polish.
Okay. I was just wanting to make sure, bro.
I don't want to be insensitive, but let's be real. You know, that's what, you know, every nationality has a so-called personification of what they're called. Unfortunately, we're called the N-word, you know. Well, we probably got about 5 or 6 other names along with that. But, you know, every nationality has their, you know, so you call these Polish people in, and they came in and they did the work, so on and so forth. And, hey, you know, I'm more than quite sure they did a beautiful job. But at the end of the day, I got to sit back and really do the math. It's like, okay, you're going to pay me $30,000, I mean $30 to do an invoice for you when you just paid them $30,000 to redo your
right.
whole home.
Wow.
And that $30,000 educated their children. That $30,000 put food on their table. That $30,000 ensured that they were going to keep a roof over their head. We do not have a concept of economics, money. We can make it, and we can listen to Rick Ross on how to spend it, but are you spending it wisely?
Okay, so basically, so you are saying that there is racism in America today?
Almost definitely. That's without a doubt.
Now,
I mean, come on.
Okay. Go ahead. No, I didn't mean to cut you off, because the next question I was going to ask you, I know you said yeah, but this is with another African American. Was it a female or a male?
I think it was a male, but go ahead. A female
okay.
too. It's a female who said her thing too. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, where this kind of flipped the script a little bit is, man, see, we show racism with our own nationality, you know what I'm saying? With our own...
Almost definitely.
You see what I'm saying? So
definitely.
When I say, now you see it? Now, by me saying racism, it kind of, you know, when you say that word, you don't even... I mean, most people look at it as, you know, I'm going to put it out to the blacks and the whites, so the Caucasians and the African-Americans, even now the Jewish... you know, the other nationalities out there, you know. When I did the poll, man, some of them was talking about their own kind. You see what I mean? Several,
mm-hmm.
like,
mm-hmm.
Latino couples were talking about the black people because they say that, you know, how they say the Spanish people are somewhat near the same as us a little bit. But I can't really say that because they're Latino. They would be African-American. They was us, you know what I'm saying, per the same. But my point in saying that is, when you hear the word racism of today in America, is that geared towards our own nationality? Is that, or is it geared towards just different people? Have you ever encountered that type of experience?
Okay, yes. Now, let me clarify something so we'll be understood. Every nationality talks about their own nationality and the flaws in their nationality. Whites talk about whites. Blacks talk about blacks. Arabs talk about Arabs. So on and so forth.
Okay.
Philippines, they talk about their own kind. So on and so forth. So let's be clear about that. But understand the undertone of when I say, as far as how we have our own racism within our own culture, is, like I said, you will hire another nationality outside of your own nationality because of your own racist ideas. You haven't dealt with every black in this trade. You haven't dealt with every black that does hair. You haven't dealt with every black. So because you ran across XYZ that were not good to you, did you understand that that may have been the spirit that you pulled in? Or is it because of your finances? You were trying to get something for nothing instead of understanding the cheap comes out expensive. So if you want something cheap, then you feel that, okay, I should go here, when at the end of the day, you get what you pay for.
Right.
Within our own culture, we have, within the black community, we have $1.1 trillion going through the black neighborhood. But at the end of the day, the $1.1 trillion that's going through the black neighborhood does not affect black, because we allow it not to affect us.
Ooh, what you mean? What you mean by that?
Okay. Everybody has experienced where they went to the corner store or went to a bodega or whatever you want to call it, and you go in there and the Arab that is in there running the store, he tells you, in order for you to use your credit card, you have to spend $10 or more. In order for
okay.
you to use your debit card, you have to use spend $10 or more. But I only want a $3 item. But you're forcing me to spend $10 in order to get that $3 item. So at the end of the day, it's benefiting you more than it benefited me. I don't want to buy $10 worth of stuff. I only want to buy $3. But yet and still, they're putting you in an economic box and telling you this is what you have to spend. They will talk to you any old type of way, and then you still go back and patronize that store. And they're still taking that money, and they're spending it somewhere else. And instead of blacks collectively coming together saying, you know what, enough is enough. We're not going to patronize this store. See, one of the movements that we failed to realize in the civil rights movement, it was not because we marched that made people aware. It was an economic basis that made people aware. The bus boycott worked because we did not ride the buses. The bus boycott worked because they almost went bankrupt from us not taking public transportation. So our dollars is what fell into place. But we understood each other. We didn't discriminate against each other as much. We stood collectively together. We discriminate against ourselves because we're like crabs in a barrel. One wants to get up, the other one wants to get up. But every time one gets up, the other one turns around and pulls them right back down.
So with the crab in the barrel effect. Wow. Okay, go ahead. I'll listen to you. Go ahead.
So, you know, I mean, we can go, every nationality, we're all human. Understand this. We're all human under the guise of God. So God sees one monolithic group of people. In every nationality, whites discriminate against their own kind. There's certain places that new money discriminates against old money. I thought money was money, but new money discriminates against old money. New money can never buy property in where old money is at. So that's all understood. But where we fall short is they still collectively stand together. We have not yet collectively stood together at all. Yes, P. Diddy has money. Yes, Jay-Z has money. Beyonce has money. All these people have money. Magic Johnson has money. All these people have money. But it has not trickled down to the black neighborhood. It only affects that affluent or other people of their kind.
Okay.
So how do you move as a grass movement? First and foremost, our educational system is shot. You would rather throw a basketball tournament and have a basketball camp than turn around and say, let's have an educational camp. Our kids are not learning. You would rather have a food and clothing drive than to have a tutoring program for your children because they're just totally, let's be correct, illiterate. You know rap lyrics, but you don't know how money works.
Wow.
And when I say money works in so many different arenas. It's not because I come to your store and I buy something that my money is working. Money never sleeps. Everybody watched that movie Wall Street. It says money never sleeps. Money is always moving. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Money is always moving. So if it never sleeps, why haven't we tapped in it? We're the biggest consumers. Why isn't $1.1 trillion trickling down? Because we're uneducated. We're illiterate to finances.
Well, let me ask you this then. So you're saying that, like, as far as the racism that's in America today, we just gonna stick with our kind, right? The blacks. Okay, we're gonna say that the blacks. You saying that as far as that, the education is kind of bad. You said the money, as far as that they're not learning. They know rap music, but they don't know other things, right? So, as into me saying it, so you do agree, again, with the racism of America today. So, do you think it's the African-American woman or the African-American male, or you just think it's the parents? I mean, what is it that's showing the racism amongst ourselves? I mean, you being said it's grabbing the barrel, too. But
I tell you this. First and foremost, I have to make the male accountable, first and foremost, before anything. I have to make the male accountable because he is a direct connect between him and God. He has that direct connect. He's God in him. So the black male I have to hold accountable first and foremost before anything, because he has to choose the right type of woman in order to raise a nation. See, the first teacher of the child is the woman. Before that child even comes out of the woman's womb, she is supposed to be educating that child.
Right.
So they say, well, if you're smoking and you're drinking, this affects the child. But if you're not reading, that affects the child. If you're not learning, that affects the child.
Mm.
We do not understand that. If they say her emotions is all over the place, this, that, and the other, that affects the baby. Yes, it does. Everything affects the child. So the mother is the first teacher of the child. But if the man is not educating the woman, then how education? The man has to make the money in order to educate his child. How is it that we came from slavery and mental and economic and physical slavery to becoming knowing how to read, write, speak different languages, so on and so forth, to become back now to a generation where everything is thrown at you. You have everything at your feet.
Mm-hmm.
But how many people are illiterate? And well, understand what illiterate...
Well, go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm not going to cut you. Let me finish this. Understand mm-hmm. what the word illiterate means. It's not just a dumb person. Illiterate is someone who can barely read a newspaper. Newspapers should be read on a fifth grade level at least. Fourth and fifth grade level newspapers.
Wow. Okay. Well, I tell you what, bro. This is what we're going to do, man. We're going to take a quick break. Then I'm going to go ahead and we're going to get right back into it. We're going to get right back grimy, okay?
Okay.
All right, so hold on, B.
That's what's up.
All right, yo. Like I was saying, man, this song here, man, I finally found the song. I couldn't find it at first note. I finally found it. My girl, Jerry Terry, man, she's from, I believe, Evanston, Illinois, man. They representing Evanston. They got a lot of good talent up there, man, Evanston, man. But, yeah, man, she was from New Orleans, and, you know, she had to relocate. I believe it was the Hurricane Katrina, I believe it was, when they had to relocate. Y'all already know how that was, so that could be something else, too, man, you know, saying, as far as this girl coming relocating since she came to Chicago, man, and, she did her thing. She found out, you know, what was her talent. I guess she was doing it down there. But, man, she came to Chicago, man. She kind of rocking the show a little bit, man. You know, I've been watching this young lady, man, and she's really good. She's a comedian, songwriter, actor. I mean, what else can you do? Without further ado, I'm going to play this quick song, and we're going to get right back down and grab me into it. The song here is called Success. Let me know what y'all think, man. Hit that page up. All right.
For idiots, get eliminated. Tell me slow down to catch up. Mind still. wheel racing, $1 million money making missions. So I'm paper chasing, thinking to myself, what's to come up for the day? Trying to duffel up my chips like a bag of Frito-Lays. And I might have failed math, but I still know how to add. Money getting exponential, got the racks on racks on racks. And I'm only 5'2", but my grind flex my muscle. I'm the lightweight, heavyweight champ, still something. Still on my grind, I done came through the struggle. I ain't never going back to hard times, motherfucker. I done scraped at the bottom, now I'm eating off success. Can't nobody on this planet hold me back, cause I'm eating off success. I'm thriving off success. My drive is that success. Won't settle for nothing less than the best, cause I earn my title and my success. I'm eating off success. I'm living off success. Won't settle for nothing less than the best, cause I earn my title and my success. Rolling, smoking, locomotion, come through causing a commotion. All of the lights and camera focus, all of the time I was never noticed. Now I got the juice, everybody wanna sip. Hold up in my Kool-Aid, don't know what flavor it is. Cause I done made a little change and I done made a few changes. Upgraded swag, but I'm still making bangers. Boosted up my ego, now I'm blazing more stages. And my fan base is growing just as much as the haters. I'm balling out the gym, why you keep taking shots? I'ma buy a couple bottles and pour up a couple rounds. I'ma toast to success while I laugh at you clowns. Stay lifted cause you will not bring me down. And I'm living off success. I'm thriving off success. My drive is that success. Won't settle for nothing less than the best, cause I earn my title and my success. I'm eating off success. I'm living off success. Won't settle for nothing less than the best, cause I earn my title and my success.
Yeah, man, that girl Jerry Terry living off the staff. That, man, that's my jam, boy. Anything that's positive, that's giving you focus or got some success, encouragement, whatever. I don't care what it is, man. Them words there, man, that just send me up, man. Send me on 90 million swole times 10. So we going to get back to the story. Back to the topic. I mean, is there still racism in America today? We got my man LB on the line. LB.
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. And, man, you know, basically, man, I know we were saying we was going to stick with the racism, man. It's almost it wouldn't be fair, you know, to kind of talk about other nationalities and stuff like that. But, I mean, but at the same time, you got to speak from your heart with what's going on. You know what I'm saying? I know they say black-on-black crime because we black in this black-on-black. You know what I'm saying? I know they're saying, you know, you did say the ignorance. I know you did say far as a crab in a barrel. You know, other people were saying things like, man, you know, they say like sometimes it's that the women, you know what I'm saying, the women is not doing what they're supposed to be doing as well. So I'm saying the guys are not doing what they're supposed to be doing as well. You know what I'm saying? The bottom line is where we can all agree on. It's a lot of single family homes that's out here right now, man. And I think that every kid needs both of their parents. Instead of the woman trying to be the mother and the father, or the father trying to be the, you know, trying to be the father and the super dad at the same time, you know, I kind of see, you know, where it's at. But you can't stereotype or judge the situation because, you know, you got to do what you have to do. You know what I'm saying? Bottom line, you know. Let me see here, man. What I'm going to do is, man, I'm going to bring in another host, man. You know, so another one of my guests. I'm sorry, you know, producer too as well. My boy Case, Case the Don, a.k.a. Tim. I don't know what he want me to call him, man, but we got my boy Case in the building, man. What's going on, Case?
What it do? What it do?
How you feeling, bro?
I'm good. What's up with you?
Man, I'm hanging in here, dog. Man, I'm mad. You know, this show is kind of epic, man. You know, I can't use the word epic no more. I got to say something else. This show is, I guess, fabuloso or something, man. You know, this topic here, you feel me, is there still racism in America today? You know, this is a real touchy topic, man. A lot of people were scared to touch on this, man. My question is to you, do you think there is still racism in America today, bro?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's the whole racist thing, man. I just think what it is black people lack a culture. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like, you know, we lack culture, you know what I'm saying? What's good for other people is not always good for us. And I mean, racism is just basically a way of stopping people from economic growth. You know what I'm saying? And if we had culture, then, you know what I'm saying, we would have economic growth.
Okay, so let me ask you this question. What is culture?
What is culture? Well,
yes,
basically,
give me your definition of culture.
Basically, everybody have a every culture have a certain way of doing things. You know what I'm saying? And I just think black people don't have that certain way of doing things. We all over the place with our culture, you know what I'm saying? We want to be like this group, we want to be like that group, and I mean, we actually have a group to tailor ourselves after. You know what I'm saying? But we don't want to do that, you know what I'm saying? Because every time a black person open up, you know, we study, you know, there's a lot of professors, a lot of teachers out there studying these things, and they give us the answers to our questions, but then we always got to reason, we always got to question it. So, I mean, I just think it's our whole lack of knowing about our history, knowing about our culture and where we come from. You know what I'm saying? Because if you don't know where you come from, then you're going to fall for anything.
Oh, most definitely.
Well, let me ask you. Go ahead, LB. I'll let you go and say something.
Go ahead and ask your question.
All right, well, Case, man, let me ask you this question, bro. What all do you do, like, far as I know you're a musician and stuff. So what all is it that you do, as far as what's your title?
Wait, say that again. I know you're
a musician, right? You do beats and stuff like that. You're a producer.
Yeah, I'm a producer.
Okay, what all do you do? Like, I know you were saying something about, you know, when we've been in the studios, I know you say that a lot of the guys, a lot of the artists don't want to do diversity of music.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, what's your kind of music? What all do you like doing?
Okay, far as, like, music today, I mean, uh-huh. I think today's music has an agenda behind it. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of laws being passed, you know what I'm saying? And black people, that's another thing. We don't even know what's going on under our nose because we too busy thinking about Gucci, Louis, you know, trying to be, you know, mainstream and all of that and not really looking out for our best interests. So I think there's an agenda behind music today. But, I mean, that's kind of a different topic if you want to go
into that. Right. I was just saying, like, what all did you do, like, far as what's your title?
My title? Well, I'm a producer, /CEO, you know, trying to get my company off the ground and everything like that.
Okay.
And I work in multimedia, so, you know, I'm trying to get that off the ground and everything.
Okay. Now, I know you do beats and stuff like that. Is there a way that people try to get in contact with you on beats, or are you still doing, you know, do you sell beats or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. Cats can hit me up at ethan9@gmail.com, ETHERNINE@gmail.com.
Okay, cool. All right, cool. Man, you know, I wanted to get a little bio on you, man, because I just went out there and put the question out there without asking you about, you know, your credentials and everything, man. You know, that's not kind of fair. You know what I mean? So since we do have you, you know what I'm saying, and I'm going to put this out there too, man. Either one of you brothers can answer this question, man. When I asked the African-American man about the topic, you know, the African-American man said that it was because the way most of our black women are raising our kids and being lazy that is making our new generation growing up without knowing our culture, which was what you just symbolized on. So do you both guys, do y'all think that is true? Case, you already said it's about the culture. Do you think that's true, LD?
Almost definitely. I think you touched upon it as well when you re-entered back into the segment where you said there's too many single mothers out here. There's too many families born, children born without both parents in the home or both parents still being actively in the child's life and knowing that the mother may not be able to get along with the father, you know, but they can get along civilly for the child's sake in order for the growth of the child to understand that, hey, you know, a lot of times mother and mommy and daddy will not always get along, you know, and this is in every nationality, you know. Mother and father may not always get along, but we all get along for the sake of the child because we need to see the growth of the child, that two people have at least enough sense to say, hey, listen, you know, this is how you're supposed to speak. This is how you're supposed to act in public. This is how you're supposed to act when you're around certain places. You know, to a degree, you are very much so correct as far as the woman raising the child. But I have to take my hat off to some of the women, not all, but some of the women, how they have raised the child by themselves and they still stand firm upon disciplining the child of a certain way, so on and so forth. But
okay.
A woman can never teach a man how to be a man.
Okay.
A woman can only teach a woman how to be a woman. And a man can only teach a man how to be a man. So where, you know, we have rapid homosexuality in the black community, so on and so forth, because they've been raised around nothing but women. So you take on and you adopt a feminine way about yourself.
Wait. I don't want to cut you off because I got another question. Did you want to elaborate on that case before I go to this next question?
I mean, it's a very hard topic to discuss without, you know, making it seem like I'm attacking black women. But the truth of the matter, without reasoning, is black women are just, they just not on their A-game. You know what I'm saying? What I mean to say is they're not doing their jobs, basically. You know what I'm saying? Today, and I feel like in today's society, we suffer from a lack of values, you know what I'm saying? And what's good, like I was saying, for another culture is not always good for us.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying? I like, he was saying, like, the parents can't get along and stuff. I mean, I feel like this. If you're not, you know, you feel like you're incompatible with the person, don't have a kid with the person, plain and serious, plain and simple.
Yeah, I mean, that's easy to say when you're in the heat of passion in the moment, you know. I think here in America in itself, not just in the black community, here in America in itself, we have a false sense of what real relationships are. We have a false sense of what real love is. We equate love with the heart fluttering and, you know, oh, he just looked at me. You know, this, that, and the other, and, oh, I just fell head over heels, the illusion of what real love is. And that is all just a fallacy. It's a fallacy.
I feel like that's a lack of culture. I mean, like, what you just said, the heart fluttering and all of that, that's not really in the African culture. That's not in the, you know what I'm saying, comedic culture. So, you know what I'm saying?
I mean,
type of thing, you know?
At the end of the day, you know, how many women have you slept with? And, you know, at the end of the day, it didn't work out. But, you know, at the time, it felt good. You know, this, that, and the other. You guys were going on. I mean, I was with my child's mother for 7 years. You know, I just broke up with her. You know, we have a 5-year-old. So you do the math. I was with her for 2 years before we even had a child. And then eventually we had a child. So, I mean, you know, I tried to stick it out as far as long as I could have, but the end result of it is it could not work out. It was better for her to be in her space and me to be in my space, and we share our child. I have her half the week. She has her the other half of the week. So I can't say that, you know, no, don't have a child, because that child was brought here for a reason. It made me a better man. It made me more accountable. It made me more aware. All of the education that I had came nothing but to the forefront to put into my child now. Everything that I learned. So I can't say because she was born to a single, you know, between two parents, they're not married, that that's a bad thing. But I can say that, hey, I could take the worst of a situation and make the best of the situation. And my child is, she loves both of us. She loves her mother and she loves her father, you know. So at the end of the day, you know, I could give it to God's hands, but I have a tenant of mine who is the exact opposite. Three kids, no man. The kids are undisciplined. You know, so I see where you're going with this, but it's not the same case in every scenario. You know, there's always exceptions to the rule. But, you know, I can't solely put it all on the woman either, because if the man chose this woman,
okay,
women,
now,
the man chose this woman, and it's just a washing machine cycle where we're going back and forth and trying to figure out who is who and what is what. At the end of the day, you're raised by a single mother, you're a man raised by a single mother, and you're taught to go out here to hunt women. And then when you hunt the women, then you, after you get them pregnant, then it's like, what now? The
right.
mother really didn't tell you what to do with the child. She taught you how to hunt. She didn't
right,
teach
right.
you the nourishment of this child. The woman teaches another woman, you know, what kind of man you look for, a man who could take care of you. So her illusion, compounded with television, is the man who's driving the Porsche or the Jag or the Cadillac truck, you know, he smells good, he looks good. She never asked him, did he come from a two-parent home? She never asked him, what kind of formal education does he have? She never asked him, well, where do you see yourself in 5 or 10 years? The only thing that she's looking for is the here and the now. What are you going to be able to give to me now? Here,
wow.
You want a $700 purse, but you don't have not one book in your room, not even a cookbook, let alone a Bible.
Okay. Now with that one there, man, I'm going to tell you this is my next thing that African, well, it was two African-American women. They kind of, like, agreed on this, too, and I'm going to read this off to you, too, and you guys can eat that up, too, and let me know what you think. It says here, the African-American women said that there are not enough jobs for our kind, and they are afraid of Africans, African-American, period, because most of the guys are either, the male guys of today are either thugs, gay, players, or have no education, and creating babies and not taking care of them. What are y'all thoughts on that?
wait. So, wait, they saying that black men are not taking care of black women?
Yeah, they said, it says here, I'm going to read it again. It says African-American, they don't have, let me start. I'm sorry. African-American women said that they're.
This is what black women are saying.
Yeah, this is what black women are saying. There are not enough jobs. They said that people are afraid to hire the African-American because they in and out of jail. Then they say, and of today, they are thugs, gay, or players with no education, and they love creating babies and not taking care of them.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, me personally, I don't really think that a lot of black women have room to complain about men's actions, because I feel myself as they endorse it. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of them wouldn't have babies if they wouldn't open their legs to these type of men.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
That's plain and simple thing. And, you know, I feel like women give the man the gun and the bullet to shoot them with, and then later on they want to say your man ain't nothing and all of that. And like my man was saying that, you know, young dudes grow up in a house with a single mother, and all they hear all day mostly is, niggas ain't shit. Black men ain't nothing. You know, and they have to hear this every day for her mistakes. So I don't feel like a lot of black women can complain about anything, because I feel like women have the power to change any situation. They can change this whole thug situation. They can change this whole player situation by doing one thing, not opening their legs to these type of dudes.
Well, how do you know what type of dude it is? You know, I mean, I know LV said they don't ask these questions, but I mean, do you think it's because they are attracted to these people? Because I know I'm just speaking on just from a because I know women ain't called in yet, but just coming from a woman perspective, is it because this is what they attract, or you know, how can you really say we give them the gun and the bullets?
Go ahead. I give you a prime example.
Young lady works at Home Depot. You know, she sees me come through there on a regular basis. You know, the supervisor's, oh, he's very nice. He's very sweet. You know, he's always buying us this, that, and the other. You know, she sees me come in there. She sees the swag and everything. First thing she's chasing is the dollar. She never understood how I got the dollar. She doesn't understand the struggle. The only thing she understood was, I got some money. And how can I get some money? That was her whole focus, is money. To lay up, sit back, and somebody to take care of her. She didn't understand the struggle. And this is so she looked, if you put a nerd on one corner and a thug on the other corner, the women will flock to the thug before they flock to the nerd.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's just something about him. Look, he got the latest this, he got the latest that, but she never stopped and asked the question, how did he get the stuff? And how is he going to keep it? But her parents, mother or father, never taught her to question these things. They weren't raised like that. They were raised to chase money. It's like a horse with blinders on. They got tunnel vision. Only thing they see is that, and that is, that's it. You try to educate them, they don't want it. You try to tell them, why don't you try to do this? What do you want to do with your life? I don't know. You're 24 years old. How the hell you don't know what you want to do? You know, so at the end of the day, it's also, you know, we're products of our own environment. We're our worst own enemy. And, yes, I have to put the blame on the mother. You know, here she has a child. She has a young lady herself. You go into the young lady's room, there's no books in there. Are you even reading to this child? Does your child, when you go into a bookstore, want to pick up a book, but does she turn around and say it's boring in here? So it's a whirlwind because at the end of the day, it's like just like a washing machine. It's just going around and around and around. I can't blame the woman, but I also have to blame the man. I have to blame both parties because at the end of the day, when that thug gets that woman, is he trying to educate her? I may be standing on the block, but listen, I'm not going to have you out here like that either. You're going to get your butt in school. You know, the old school mentality. If I take care of you, I know you'll take care of me. You know, those things are gone. And truth of the matter is, I don't think we'll ever get back right. Because at the same time, while our black women are trying to be white, the white women are trying to be black.
Yeah.
And that's just straight up and down truth of it. From her fake hair, I seen a woman with some fake eyelashes. I mean, they was long as butterfly wings. And she thought this was appealing. This brought sex appeal to her.
Okay, wait. Okay, look. All right, I'm gonna read this off real quick, man. I just got it in, man, because one caller was. They text me in because they was at work, and they text in. They said the definition of racism is an excessive or irrational belief in superiority. I can't even say the word.
Superiority.
Correct. Thank you. Superiority. Thank you. One owns race. In other words, whites are better than every other race, or blacks are better than every other race. Now, I see that we kind of going in on our kind of, you know what I'm saying, as far as on the women or whatever, because I do got a female call on the phone that really want to get at you guys.
Wait, let me just say this real quick before you jump on that. he was saying, you said, how do a woman stop, you know, from meeting dudes like that? And, you know, like my man said, if all you seeing is dollar signs, I mean, you're going to get what's coming to you. I mean, I feel like a lot of women don't even take time to get to know dudes nowadays. Like he was saying, you see money, and that's all you thinking is money. You're not thinking about this person's values. You're not thinking about, you know, what type of family this person comes from. You're not thinking about any of that. So, I mean, you tend to just, you know, fall for the same things over and over and over again. And I think that's a lot. That's the problem in the black community. That's another lack of culture.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, man. I got some callers in, man. They called in, man. Let me go take a call real quick, okay?
Okay.
All right. I got my guys, Jay and Crazy B, are on the line. Jay, Crazy B, are you guys there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Cool. Hey, man. Whoever want to go first, man. I'm gonna ask you the question too. Is there still racism in America today? So. One of you guys, you go ahead and take the, you know, take over and let me know.
Yes. Well, Crazy B, let them know, because you could give them first-hand experience and stuff.
I'm letting them know firsthand. I'm working a job for so long.
Where at? In the city?
In the city, yes.
What city?
New York City.
Okay, yeah.
Racism does exist. Let me tell you something. I'm a black man trying to come up in the ranks, and the other people won't let me up in the ranks, which is
how
why
long you been working at the job?
Job about 28 years.
Okay.
Every time something comes up for a new job, they deny me. Like the first 5 years, they deny me. 5 years after that, I kept asking for positions, higher positions. I'm qualified if I have education. Mm. It doesn't matter, but the thing is, look at my skin color. I'm black. I can't get no higher than a lower position right now. Okay. So I'm very tired. So I found myself stuck in the same job for all these years. I figured.
Okay. Now the question is to you is this: if you find yourself stuck in the same position, what are you trying to do to change your position? Because one thing you have to know is this: nothing is going to be given to you. So what are you going to do in order to change your position?
Well,
first and foremost, I can't go in. Wait, not to cut you off, but I cannot keep going down the same road, expecting a different result. Are you trying to change your position? Are you trying to find something else and invest your money that you're making from this job into your own business? Because we're at this pinnacle point now in our race that we have to start creating our own jobs.
You're 100%
You can't keep
right.
asking this man to keep giving you something.
All right. No, hold on 1 second.
Well, we're not asking
him to
give me anything. Go ahead. Take it to him.
I could understand what you're saying. You can't expect nothing.
That's right.
You are right. I think we are our own enemy at times sometimes. But you see, you have this system that has been placed here, right? And when you are trying to progress, some people have different situations and different circumstances. So some people are literally, believe it or not, are stuck in certain situations that they cannot get out of. You know, depending on, you know, like I said, everybody has a different situation. For me, the problem is at the top. You could try to change everything, but you have to basically deal with the top, you know, which is the, you know, top of the food chain, if you want to consider
right.
that. And we definitely need to take more responsibility against amongst ourselves and basically start owning our own stuff so we can have more power. But if you really look at the successful people that we have right now, successful black men that are out there, entrepreneurs and whatnot, and they're still under a white,
right.
you know, entity. And, you know, it's like, you know, no matter how high you get, you never at the top. You know, we say, oh, well, we got a black president. Well, people forget that he's
That's
black
right.
and white. He's not only black.
Well,
so,
you know,
and
well, first and foremost, I'm not even, first and foremost, as long as the white man, and I hate to say this, as long as a white man could look at him as a nigga and call him a boy to his face on national television,
black.
So on and so forth, he's still a black man. I don't look at
there
that, oh, he's black and
there
white.
You go. That's right.
But,
there you go.
But at the end of the day, I'm in construction. I do construction. I'm not concentrating on what that white man is doing. I'm concentrating
right.
on what I'm doing. and my level that I need to get to the level that I need to get up to. I'm not running the race for the white man. I'm running the race for my own culture. So, first and foremost, you'll never be equal. You'll never be equal to him.
Right, you're exactly right. I think that's what you hit it right on the head. I think that, you know, for my brother right here, he has a different situation. But for the ones that are in position,
I mean,
they definitely need to really take responsibility and say, you know what, we don't have to be blaming anybody. We take our own responsibility. We build our own stuff. We need to really start investing in ourselves. And you know what it is again, they do what they do, and they invest, and that's why they are successful in certain ways. Yeah, racism got to do with that, but also we also have shot ourselves down because we're eliminating ourselves for.
I give you a prime example, and this happens in all over America, not just here. I'm in Chicago. This happens all over America. Mexicans come in and work in everybody's neighborhood, but you would not see any other nationality working in their neighborhood. They will take your dollars and feed their family. They take your dollars, educate their children. They take their dollars and they clothe and shelter their children.
Wow.
Exactly.
We will go out here and hire the same people that will not hire us. And all because of what? At the end of the day, we are our own worst enemy because at the end of the day, we do not see the bigger dollar. And this boils back down to economics, understanding economics. If you do not understand how a dollar is created, we were better off segregated and integrated. Why? Because of financial reasons. It wasn't because of the more principle of morals and values, this, that, and the other. We always have pimps and drug dealers and all that in the black neighborhood. That's nothing new.
Of course. That's
but we kept the money within the black neighborhood. You were forced to spend the money in the black neighborhood.
Correct.
And that all fell apart in the 70s when they got rid of the Black Panthers because our neighborhoods would not be saturated with other nationalities if it wasn't for black men saying, listen here, we're not going to allow this. And the main people, that everybody's looking at the man and the woman, and nobody looked at the church. If the black church is supposed to be the pillar of the black community, why are they letting it happen? Okay.
Well,
why isn't anybody standing up at the podium, at the pulpit, and saying, listen here, this is not going to go on?
You're right. No,
we're not
going to
patronize this store. Matter of fact, we're going to put the city on their butt and make sure we shut them down for every code violation.
Well, I tell you one thing. The church is a whole different story. That's more of a business situation. So, I mean, you know, for me, when you talk about churches, the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, financial gain from people that are taking advantage of others. So that in itself, whether it be, you know, whatever religion you're talking about or whatever race,
don't matter.
There is no real unity within the church if you really do your research. So that's a whole different subject. But I mean, as far as our communities, we definitely need to more people working together because you know what? It's not happening. I mean, if it was happening, like I said, even go to the top. You know, what media circuits do we own? You know, we got all the rappers and all the artists running around entertaining. You got actresses, you got this, that, the other. But who controls it? Nobody has stepped up to the plate. Okay. One person that I gotta give respect to that has stepped up to the plate is Tyler Perry. You know, and people will say this, that, you know what? How many people own their own studio, putting out their own stuff?
That's right.
Nobody's doing that.
Well,
P. Diddy
just got a channel. P. Diddy, I gotta take my hat off to Oprah, and I also gotta take off my hat to Magic Johnson. Those are the ones who just recently stepped up to the plate as far as, and Magic made it for sure to say that it is not going to be any more buffoonery on the television, you know, on his network. So, and I'm part of the problem when it comes to it. But I like watching Basketball Wives and stuff, you know. I like to watch the train wreck.
Right, right. But you know what? You know what? The thing is this. It's one thing about watching it as an entertainment, you know, and some people that are feeding into this. And that's another thing that has to do with our community, because you got our women, our black women, are watching this, and they're thinking that that's their life, or that they should live like that, even when they're Housewives of Atlanta, Housewives of this.
Or Jersey.
They even done it for every race, but if you really think about it, they have targeted our people, and our people are falling for it. I mean, the hip-hop, you know, they got a love of hip-hop, and it has nothing to do with hip-hop. It's all about fighting and relationships and bringing black people down. You know, and then we are the ones that are doing it because, I mean, it might be VH1 Viacom that's running the show, but we are submitting ourselves and lessening ourselves
to that entertainment. Making a fool of
selling out for a dollar.
Sell out. And instead of owning, you know, we talk again, like what we were saying, that's a blessing in the sky that we got, you know, P. Diddy. Like, I mean, I don't really try to, you know, make any my opinion on him because I don't know him personally. But like I said, we need more of the people with the money to start stepping up to the plate and start making these moves.
That's
because,
right.
I mean, it's not going to happen by itself. If we thinking, you see what the TV is doing right now. The television, the television, and the radio, we own no radio. That's why everything is playing the same thing over and over again, and it's only one style of music. And
as far as the radio go, like I was saying earlier, a lot of that stuff is a part of an agenda. I mean, I don't think, you know, we say culture and everything, but I think our lack of culture got us in this position. I mean, look at a lot of stuff that, you know, people like, I don't even want to bash Tyler Perry, but look at the type of stuff that they're representing to us. You know what I'm saying? I think if we don't do history as black people, then we never going to know who we are, and we always going to chase somebody else's culture, like religion for one thing. Let's just jump into that real quick. Like, black people, okay, we are the original Jews, we are the original Christians and whatever.
That's
but
right.
But see, the religion that we're practicing now.
White Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, the religion we're practicing now is a European version of our same religions, you know what I'm saying? And
we
seen the image of the white Jesus, we seen the image on TV of ourselves, you know, being sold to us, that's what type of person we are. Tyler Perry's in a dress. I mean, we don't have any uplifting movement.
I agree with that.
Yes, right, exactly.
Like, we come together for movies like Precious, and we think that's uplifting to our people when, you know, at the end of the movie, you kind of looking like, okay, what did I just witness?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's another thing that's pushing our race down, you know what I'm saying? And I think it's just our lack of culture and knowing who we are. I mean, we look at Africa, they show us Africa on TV. They show us the desecration of Africa. They show us the messed up parts and all of that. You know what I'm saying? They never show us the good parts or anything like that.
Mm.
And then when the people do come over here, like now we have the Dogons over here teaching. I don't know if y'all know who them people are, but, you know, they wanted the original tribes of the Kemetic teachings and everything. They're over here, they're trying to teach us and everything. We ain't even trying to hear that, you know what I'm saying? We just keep on trying to take on somebody else's culture, and we always want a reason when our own culture tells us to do something. Well, this culture said it's okay, or these people said it's okay. And I think that's our main downfall right there.
I think you
You have to look at the bigger picture. You're very much so right as far as taking on the culture, on another culture. But I think it is in effect that the European has done across the board. Period. He has done it to every nationality, and it's all under to be Westernized or Americanized, as they call it. You know, we're gonna the Arabs are being more Americanized every day, and that's where that's their rift between their own culture, because at the end of the day, you wanted to be Westernized, and here we come from this. So every nationality goes through that. But I want to find out, how can we get back from where we're at now to where we were at? How do we get back there? That's all I want
to
know.
Kings and queens.
What's the first step?
The first step.
step is taking responsibility. Everyone taking responsibility.
Okay.
It's not his problem. It's not that their problem.
Right.
We always point the finger. We got to look in the mirror and say it starts within. And when everybody can take that responsibility, then we can all start moving forward. Because if everybody's not on the same page and doesn't acknowledge the problem, then how are we going to go forward? So once you acknowledge it, you can now start connecting with other like minds, you know, and start getting really, you know, it's sad that this country and the world runs on money, but really it's getting yourself educated and financially successful.
That's right.
In these hard times that we have, however you can, as long as it's legal, that it doesn't put you in prison, you know?
Right.
I think that's important. Important education, educating yourself, and getting yourself established. However, whether it's saving, you know, once a week, you know, $20, putting your money, making your money work for you. Stop spending so much money on these products. Stop buying so much Gucci and Prada. Gucci and Prada is not even American-made company. You keep supporting these European companies, and they don't give you nothing in return.
Right.
I understand.
I gotta take one more call, man. I know you guys, you know, it's good.
Stay on the
phone, man. This caller here, man, been waiting to get in, man. She's been ringing up the ears, and
Let
me see here. Caller.
Great show, by the way, guys.
Thank you, man. This caller here, man. She's been wanting to get on the line, man, and been talking. I guess you want to say something. Who's it, Jessamar? You want to say something to the guys?
Hello?
Yeah, Kendra, I didn't know if you was on the phone. Kendra?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, hey, how you doing?
I'm good, and you?
Okay. I know you wanted to get on. You've been talking, and, you know, we had to get some calls and get
back
right back on the topic. Yeah, so did you want to add on to this, or do you have something to say? Okay.
I have so many different points that I can touch on. First, we have been stripped, and take you all the way back for everybody keeps saying our culture, our culture, our culture. Our culture was stripped away from us 400 and some odd years ago. We really don't know because we're from so many different tribes, you don't even know who or what you really are.
So now we
have to become and begin to embrace this new culture, which is what we have here in America, which starts back from when we came off of those ships and here and began in slavery. That is our culture now. Our true original culture, we'll never know.
Right.
We'll never know.
Okay, but now
that only
let me
thing
ask
that
question.
We can go on. Hold on. Only thing that we can begin to go off of is slavery. So that is where we start off at is slavery. Now, women have it 210 times worse than you all have it because we are women and we're also African American. Now, my father, my stepfather is white. And when I ask him what is his true grievance with African-American men, you know what he tells me? It's because they don't stand up and be men. It has nothing to do with he's black, he's Mexican, he's orange. They don't stand up and be men. And that is the problem that we're having. It's okay. White women, all day long, their parents breed them to want to have the best. That is how they are brought up. You are not to settle for less than the best. Now, when black women begin to teach their children why settle for less, you guys begin to call women gold diggers. We want this. We want that. We want this. But we only want the best. Who goes out and says, I want a broke man? Who goes out and does that?
Right.
Not to say that you cannot
you know,
be independent.
But let us talk.
But you know what?
Wait.
You're very much so correct. When I aspire to drive a car, I want to drive one of the best cars. Even if it ain't the modern car, I want to buy the best car that year. But I'm going to tell you this. Also understand this. Understand one thing. It's not what you do, it's how you do it. If you want the best, the best thing to do is you have to give to receive. And that is the basic premise of the order of this life.
Let me explain.
You can't sit up
here. Okay, I'm going to take you there.
Let her finish.
You can't
sit up here.
Let me finish.
And lay on your back and then
four girls. One, two, three, four. I have four young ladies and one son. I raised my son to tell him, you respect all women. no matter what shape, fashion, or form they are in. I teach you to do that. My girls, I teach them, you don't have to settle for less. You strive for better. So if you want that better man, you pick that better man. If you want that better car, you strive for that better car. If you want that five-bedroom house and it's only you, baby, you strive for that. And you work very hard to get that. White women teach their children the very same idea. Very same. Have you noticed in the NBA and the NFL, black women with their men are far and few in between. Because that white woman, she knows she's going to get that man with the money. But do you call her a gold digger? No.
Mm-hmm.
You don't. No, you don't.
Oh, wait,
you call the white woman that's looking for the man that got the money, you call her the gold digger.
African American men are the most damning men. Well, a
gold
digger is a
gold digger. When it comes to their own women, because you will down your black woman in a heartbeat. You will find everything wrong. If she tells you no, she's too strong for you. She's too strong with it. She don't want to listen. If she tells you, if she's not being submissive and saying, come here, baby, let me rub your feet every 2 seconds, you have a problem with that. You don't like her attitude. If she gained a little weight, dang, baby, you fat. It's always something wrong with that essence. So if you go back to that, and again, we're going to go back to this. With Mexicans, I'm going to give you a prime example. When they had a farmer, now I'm switching subjects, but there was down south, there was a farmer willing to pay $10 an hour to have his land farmed. You know what most of the black people said? I ain't going down there in that hot sun for no $10. You know what the Mexicans said? I'm on my way. They got the job.
Sister.
Hey, wait, before you guys, I'm gonna read something to her real quick,
and I'm gonna tell you this. This was from a black woman that sent this to my phone. Order. Man is to seek instruction from God. Then women is to seek instruction from the man who is in the presence of God. As God is man's healer, man is the healer of woman. Man is the provider, protector, and so on. So at the end of the day, a woman sent that to my phone.
At the end of the day, how many men are doing what they're supposed to do? If you can protect me, provide, show to me, and help guide me, I'm your woman to the end. I'm very submissive.
Okay,
but
both black women just,
but
black
then,
black
if you cannot do that, don't get mad because my paycheck is bigger than yours or because I asked you to do this. Don't get mad at me. And that's from God.
Well,
that's
you know
what you're
telling me. One thing, more money that's never intimidated a man, like as of myself. If you make more money than me, that's never intimidated me. Because if we doing things together and if you really feel that we together, then that's part of my money anyways. So at
that's
the end
the
of the day, I never
same
had
thing
that
I'm telling
type
you.
Of,
when
wait,
it comes
wait,
to women
never,
and
you know
African-American
women,
I'm telling you the same thing.
About the Mexican
you guys
woman.
Don't accept
I'm going to tell you about the Mexican woman, though. The Mexican woman, which I've seen time and time again, I have seen Mexican women out on the job sites with their man saying, okay, what do you want me to do? I'll help you paint this. I carry this wood over here. You ask a black woman, she don't paint what, huh, wood, huh? Now, I can't give that to my child's mother. Before we even had a child, my child's mother would come and help me on the job site. Maybe not as much, but I have seen other nationality of women saying, hey, if this is what we have to do together in order for us to collectively come up, then that's what it is. You
yeah,
want
we gotta
you want the
each
top.
Other too. You know what? We have a lot of problems within. That's what the problem is. There's a lot of problems within from the man and woman, you know, from a lot of fathers not being in their children's lives all the way to women becoming bitter. Women becoming bitter and you know, having this mentality of, oh, you know, I'm going to deal with guys that only got money. You see, it's one thing for you to look for somebody that's successful, but it's for something that you're looking out just for your own interest, and you don't have nothing to bring to the table. So it's got to be also a 50-50 thing.
Amen. You don't have anything to bring to the table, but you're looking for a successful man. You're not educated. You're not educated. You're not still trying to strive for more education to bring to the table to say, hey, we can build this together. But you want a successful man.
Right.
Everybody wants to strive and have something good.
Everybody
but if you don't bring anything, my mother told me that.
Okay, I just want to say,
me that.
Real quick, I just wanted to say one thing that she had said. First of all, our culture do not start as slavery. That's number one. We are comedic people. So, you know, black people culture probably started on
slavery.
Listen,
we were kings and queens before that, if you want
yeah,
to
yeah,
really
comedic,
break it down.
But do you
and
not
we
like
were
comedic?
Hold on, comedic?
They
okay.
I don't, they did
where
did
we come from?
Okay, wait. I gotta mute everybody. I gotta wait, Case. I gotta mute everybody's phones, man, because we're gonna get back into the next segment, man. So what I'm gonna do is this, guys. Y'all hold on. Y'all chill out. Y'all relax. I'm gonna play a quick song, man. Y'all go ahead. Y'all gather y'all thoughts, and then we're gonna come back in, and we're gonna get in with round two. All right. So this song here, man. I love this song, man. I don't care what nobody say, man. It's my boy Prince Ghost. It just be going hammer. All right. I'm gonna play this song, then we're gonna get right back at it. All right, here we go, Prince the Ghost.
The Architects.
Hey, girl. Hey, girl.
Because all the callers was going hammer. But look, man, I got to pay a quick bill. Let me see here before we get back on the subject here, man. Let's see here. Pastor Mo Sales, man, we got a program coming up February the 10th. It's called Putting the Real Back into Relationships. That's February the 10th, man, and it's at Christ Church of Family Fellowship. That's 6952 South Wentworth. If you want to know a good relationship with God, or if you're trying to get a good relationship with your man, you know, like one of my callers did say, man, he said, we are kings and queens first, man. So, you know, you got to get a good relationship with God, man, and we're going to put the real into relationship. And that's February the 10th. It's at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, 6952 South Wentworth. So, hey, that's what we're going to do. I'm going to take one more call here, man. Mr. Me Too, you on the line?
Yes, sir.
Okay, how you doing, sir? How you doing
pretty,
today?
Pretty good, fam. Is the sister still on the line?
Yeah, let me see if she's still on here. Kendra, you still on the line?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. She kind of came in and threw a curveball. Kind of jumped off the subject too, but I do have a question for her. Does she know her biological father, and does she have a relationship with him?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Yeah, one of the things for me, you know, I don't even respect a white man to give definition to a dysfunction in a black man. He's not even qualified. So your stepfather, he's not even qualified to give definition to a black man. That's the first thing. So you should disregard that.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me break in on you right there. When my father, the alcoholic, refused to see me because he was told I was too spoiled to come around, that white man stepped in. He made sure that my mother was well taken care of. He made sure that I was well taken care of. He clothed me. He did everything he needed to do as a man. Not because he was a white man, not because he was black. He was a man that stepped in and did what he needed to do. So his opinion is very important to me.
Oh, well, and that's what I wanted to hear. So, and I wanted all the brothers to hear that. So this sister's, you know, she's got an issue. I mean, and we all got issues, but clearly you can tell she has an issue with the relationship between her biological father and then a white man stepping in and doing what he did. I commend him for that. So you have to keep that in context when you listen to this sister. I mean, there's an issue there, because certainly we know all men are not like her father. That's one thing. So you guys got to remember that as you listen.
All our relationships have been with African-American men.
Okay.
That is all I truly date, is African-American men, good or bad. And I've had good and I've had bad.
Now,
and I still love them. I still love my black men.
Okay. The second thing about this issue of the only culture we know is slavery culture. Now, that's just absurd. First of all, slavery is not a culture. It's a condition. So let's put that in context. Now, the culture that we live in is European. That is the one we know of. But you can connect to ancient African cultures through its philosophies, its theories, and its history. And that is the one we can connect to, even though it doesn't exist. That is the purpose of knowing your history. Your history connects you to the culture. Now, if you're
knowing
saying
where
that
you
we
come
should,
from, correct?
Huh?
I want to make sure I'm gathering what you're saying. To know where you come from is to know what your history is. Correct?
You said we cannot know that culture. You said we can't know that culture. But you can know that culture by knowing your history. That's where you connect back to that culture. So you can do that through history.
But I guess my question would be then to you, my brother, would be, do we truly know where we come from? All I can tell you right now is I know I come from a tribe in Africa. What tribe I came from, I don't know.
what their customs, what their foreclosures, what their old wives' tales were. I have no idea.
Okay.
When we got over here, we were stripped of that culture, whatever it may have been.
Okay. Yeah, well, we don't have to concern ourselves with what
I'm adapting and what I say is my culture right now is what was left, the bits and pieces that were left after it was stripped, which means we had to come and love each other. We sang our songs, and our way of communicating was through music a lot of the times because we couldn't do so many things. That is what I know. But if you go back to an Italian, you go back to a Greek, they can give you hundreds upon hundreds of years of history and culture and ways of doing things. I cannot.
Well, but see, here's the point you're making, sis. Here's the point. You're making my point. Most Italians that you may see around the globe have never been to Italy. But they have a history that connects them. Hello?
Well, yeah, real quick, most of all Kemetic cultures lived under the same rules almost.
And I was getting ready to go, right.
Yeah, yeah.
There's universal Kemetic, right, right.
Tribe being comfortable and everything.
Sleepy.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah.
I'm online. Okay, listen. That's what I was just about. My point was about to hit upon that. The average European that's over here can't tell you where they exactly come from, where they're really cultured from, so on and so forth. So we can scratch all that. We are dealing with the here and the now.
You know what?
My daughter goes to an African school right now, and I love it because of the simple reason why they're at least teaching them Swahili, Kwanzaa, so on and so forth. So they're at least starting the process off. She's 5 years old. They're starting the process off.
That's beautiful, brother. That's
early on. It's not like she didn't wait till she got to high school.
That's beautiful.
Okay, real quick.
That's so great, and that's so wonderful. And I hear y'all, and I appreciate what you're saying when you go back to your culture, and I totally appreciate what you're saying. I can't connect to what you're saying, but I appreciate what you're saying. And I can't connect. Only for the fact that the connection that is broken here is the fact that, you know, I mean, we're saying we're culture, we're this, we're that. And I still don't know. And I'm not going to pretend I go to the Sovereign Museum. I can do Kwanzaa. I can do all that. But I still don't know the real meaning of it.
Hey, listen, guys.
Hello. Let me speak, guys. Okay, I want everybody, because the time is kind of ticking down, I want everybody to kind of get their things in. I don't want to, you know, cut off nobody's mics, but I don't want nobody talking over each other either to make a point. So what I would do is, let me see how we could do this. But we could kind of just kind of respect it, because it's kind of hard to cut off somebody's microphone when they're making a valid point. You know what I mean? We could kind of respect each other and hear each other out. And go from there, man. So, you know, because all you guys are, man, everybody is hitting on everything, you know what I'm saying? Even though we kind of got away from our race a little bit and went on more so on the, you know, African-American culture. And I do agree with every last one of you guys, because every topic that you guys are speaking from is off that movie, Hidden Colors 1 and 2, which is a good CD or DVD to cop, man, because it do speaks upon it. But I think what's wrong with a lot of us, as far as our nationalities, I want to say us African-American people, is we don't do enough research. And then we do get all the research that we do need. It's hard to tell another person that's in the struggle or to try to educate them when poverty don't kick in. You know, the economics don't kill them. You see what I'm saying? So, whoever want to say something, go ahead, chime in on there, and then we just go from there. Just trying to kind of respect everybody, because we ain't got that much time. Go ahead. Real quick, let me say this.
First of all, they got us calling ourselves black. There's no such thing as a black people. There's no such thing as a white people. Those are all political terms coined by the Romans, you know, for the whole racist agenda thing. Another thing is, we have black professors and historians out there that's covering everything that we need to know about our cultures. So we have no excuse to sit there and say, oh, we don't know where we're from. You know what I'm saying? That's one other thing. You know what I'm saying? So when we sit in here and we talk like Kwanzaa, for instance, the brother, we don't have that. we don't, Kwanzaa, does, it don't really exist in Africa like that, you know what I'm saying? So that's the problem. Like he said, we won't go further and study who we are, and then when we do, we have to question and reason around that. That's the problem with our culture. We won't just embrace the people who we are, you know what I'm saying, and what we are. We just always have to question, well, I don't know this, I don't know that. That's a whole European way of thinking about things, and that's what they got us at, to question our own culture. When they came over there, they brought Christianity, like, I forget his name, but he said, they gave us the Bible, told us to close our eyes, and they took our land. That's basically how that went. We always got to question everything because that's a European way of thinking, but that is not a Kemetic way of thinking. And we're not black people. We are Kemetics. And you can look this up. So
no,
anybody that wants
to I agree with you wholeheartedly. The thing of it is this, though. I'm dealing with the here and the now. I mean, I can, yeah, I know where, if you don't know where you come from, you will never know where you're going. But I think what we're dealing with now is basic morals and values. As far as our culture now, I have to wholeheartedly agree with the sister when she says that nobody, you know, you wouldn't set out to inspire to have the lesser than, you would want to have the best of. But, you know, it's something that it was instilled in me through my parents, where if you don't know, you know, I don't know what a man had to do to get what he got, and I don't know what he has to do to keep it. You know, everybody went to Dwayne Wayne's birthday party, and the women came out in droves just to get with Dwayne Wayne and anybody close to Dwayne Wayne. But at the end of the day, he chose a woman who was financially stable and able to bring XYZ to the table. Because, yes, you look good and you sound good with your Maybelline on and everything like that, but at the end of the day, if you don't have any substance, you don't have any morals and values, you don't understand that you have to cook nutritional food in order for you to not be so obese or out of weight, heart attacks, so on and so forth. You know, it's more, so much more to life than just chasing a dollar, just to be successful financially. Are you wealthy?
Okay.
Sleepy is wealthy. Sleepy is wealthy. He's wealthy beyond his means. A lot of people are in our culture are wealthy beyond our means, but we will never understand wealth. We want riches, not wealth.
Hey, don't say it too loud, man. I pay child support. No, I'm just like, go ahead.
But
until support.
Learn your
hey, that's the real stuff right there. But
hey,
if we don't understand our wealth, which is a spiritual connection that we can never understand. It's there, wealthy.
Right,
are you physically fit? Are you able to get up in the morning and go to work? Are you able to pay a bill? I don't want to be rich. I want to be comfortable.
Right. Well, you know what, LB? I got to bring this other special guest in, man. If I don't bring her in, I won't hear the last of it, man. So I'm going to bring in... Like everybody got they got their how you say it, they Mama D. I'm gonna bring in my Mama D. Mama Denise, you on the line?
Yes, I am. First of all, I want to say Happy New Year, and I want you all to have a blessed, safe, and prosperity New Year. But everybody got a Bible in their hand. Go to the first part, Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the back. You don't see nothing but maps. That's the world that God created here. First of all, let us all remember this. Yes, some did come from Africa, and some came from other countries. But you know what? The first word we were called was Negro. Then they put a color, black. Then they now African American. But the thing with God is how you identify yourself with Him and you. One thing, and that's why we have to wake up, because of the fact that we have done so great in America. To whereas now we are most successful than as we used to be up underneath the black man. white man never liked any smart man, and that was us. We created this here America. Now you're standing here hollering about Daisy Duke and who baby daddy, and how black men don't want white black women and white men. But see, let me tell you the story about black and white, black man and white woman. If that meets your shoe, that's who you are. White men, black men always wanted to get a home to a white man, woman. Because back in the day, when there were black women here in the plantation, that's what the white man did, was go there and get with their black women, rape their black women, mistreat their black women, use their black women. Now, black women were strong, because I'm using this term, well, you say, we always have been strong bind with our black men, because the master used to beat them, mistreat them, and throw them up in the barn to us, and we heal, we feel, and we send them back out there. So don't never say, always know, and always remember, you God child first. Jesus was a Jew, then a Jewish didn't want Jesus no more. But Jesus was great. Jesus greater than us all, because he's God child. Now think about the American brown skinned person. How you get over here? Okay, you wasn't wanted wherever you came from. But guess what? We became strong, successful, and great, and better than the ones that don't even want us. See, they want you to think we was taken from somewhere in Africa. But just like Indian country was stolen, okay, somehow, why Africa is still going on, and we over here, because, number one, we wasn't stolen from Africa. We were sold. So the best thing of all, to keep where you need to go and be successful with what you want, and also look around and have more, be your own man, be your own woman. Because one day, we all fall down, but we get up. And we all have to have a story. Because Jesus had one, too, on this earth.
Right,
so,
right.
You always think about where I come from. See, they want you to think that way. You ain't nothing. You ain't nobody because they know you're successful. And then the brown-skinned people with the pinky hair, you don't know where you come from. Can you first say, I came from above, God created me? Can I say, the love that you look for out here on this earth, can you say, first of all, that God, Jesus Christ, loves me? Those are the things you need to build. Those are the things you need to scribe. Those are things that move you on. Those are things that make you successful. Those are things that give you. Those are things that whatever you want, God got it there for you. So first of all, as we all forgot, we all are God's children. Kings and queens, like God told, like Jesus told a king. He asked Jesus, what does it take for me to enter into heaven? What did Jesus say? It's easier for a camel to enter in a needle eye than a rich man to enter into heaven. See, the title here is Rich and Poor. You understand? Ain't no more rich, middle, and poor. Well, I live in a high class white people area over here, and I came out a low class neighborhood where there was black people. I saw those children over there selling drugs, doing little activities and stuff to get their little cookies and candy. They were like, what, 10, 12, 9, whatever. They was committing drug crimes. I see the same little white kids over here. But guess what? They got their cookie and candy money. They ain't nothing but little 9, 10-year-old junkies because of the fact that, you know, they have the money. Their moms and them give them their allowances and all this stuff. But they over here They burn up. They burning up. And then with the schools. The schools want to use your children as guinea pigs. You know, your job market thinks you're slaves. Oh, come on in, I'll hire you. But you know what? Guess what? I'm hiring slaves. Always remember, America first slaved themselves. White people first slaved themselves because it was a rich and it was a poor. So they designed the slavery. That's why they knew how to go and build this plantation. No, don't do that to yourself. Y'all got too much to accomplish being successful people, being God people, getting your blessings.
Well, Mama D, I mean to cut you off. We ain't got that much time, and we're going to have to give you your own show. I do appreciate that. As far as calling in, man, that's a blessing for your mama to call in, y'all, and just on the show and then just give you the 101 history. That's like Django 3000 or something. Mama D, thank you so much, man, for the input and everything that we over here discussing.
Anytime. And you know what? There's a daddy G in heaven that can give you the same information and more. And that's called God Almighty in the name of Jesus Christ.
Okay, Mama D, thank you so much.
All right. Y'all have a place for that.
All right, guys. My mom off the phone, so now we can get it in again. I'm just glad. I want to thank y'all just for the respect. I want to thank y'all for just sharing the how we all can't get along. I want to thank you guys for even giving out the input. Every last one of you guys, man, are blessed in y'all own original way. You know, me too. He's calling in from Michigan. Jay Crazy B, they calling in from New York. You know what I mean? It's just we all over the world and we scattered. And Brother Tim said, he was saying things about our culture, and I do kind of agree with him on that too. You know that we've been stripped because we've been watching Hidden Colors. I'm gonna keep stressing it. Hidden Colors 1 and 2. Whether a person believes them or not, them people had did their research. For us people, I don't know who Mike that is. Yeah, I don't know who Mike that is, so I'm going to shut it down. Let me see here. Yeah, but anyway, I don't know. Far as them guys, they did their research for Hidden Colors 1 and 2. And what was good about it was it made so much sense, whether if it was true or not, it still made you think. You know, I know in Hidden Colors 1, it said build a foundation or to build a building. To build a foundation, he said, now you got to start from the ground level. Ground zero means that's your economics. You got to get your money together. You got to start saving. You got to start doing that. Before you even go outside the door, you got to have your home together, which is your family. You got to, if you're family oriented or if you're single, you still got to have your structure together before you even go out to even try to make some money, because you got to have a sound mind to produce. Once you get your economics together, then it's the second floor. That's where the politics at. That's where you can talk to them, get them in your pocket. You can start paying them, you know, to do something, because the politics is what controls the police and the judges. So once you get them going, that's the third floor. In order to get to the top floor, where the CEOs and what they own everything, the judges and the police are the middle line between all that, because they are behind the scenes when it comes to that. So being together in a unity or uniform structure will kind of help you out. Now, I got it to where it's the single brother, me by myself, I'm solo dolo. And by me being solo dolo, I mean trust none. Bar none, right? I trust nobody. Trust nobody, and I am everybody, because I got to do and produce to myself. That solo brother still got to get some kind of structure, some spiritual structure within itself. Because if you're coming out angry and raised out, what you going to do? You're going to create negative energy towards negativity, and it's going to draw. I don't care what nobody say, man. Like positive energy draws positive energy. Negative energy draws that too. sometimes you could just be in both kinds of energy and you just don't know which one would gravitate the most, which one is the most dominant. If that man or that woman is the most dominant, that's what's going to win, because your spiritual ground is off level. You see what I'm saying? Well, I'm trying to come from there. But I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to go into the preachers or anything, but I just think that if we all be positive, you know, with positive thinking, I don't care if you're going through the struggle, if you're going through whatever it is, man, the one thing that we all do have in common is that we are alive. We are breathing. We got that heartbeat. I don't know who's healthy. I don't know who's unhealthy. But I know we got to stand strong in whatever element that, you know, God gives us or brings us. You know, and that's one thing about it. But I know culture-wise, I know that if you're a Christian, if you read the Bible, you know, that kind of helps you out too. I don't if the Torah, the Quran, whatever it is, they all got some kind of form, and I know it also teaches you how to be a person, a man, in a positive light. You know, I don't think the Bible or the Quran teaches us how to hate each other race. And that's where it came from to me, was how did that even come about? Why, real quick, if you can let me chime in.
I mean, that's a whole other topic, but you said the Bible don't teach anybody hate. I beg to differ there. You know, there was a tribe that was hated inside there. God hated, you know, homosexuals. Supposedly God hated Egyptians. So, I mean, that's a whole other topic. I just really wanted to say the brother has said he living for the here and now. That's the problem. There's no here and now. These people have been using the same tactics on us for centuries, and we study, keep trying to adjust to these tactics. There's no adjusting to these tactics. There's no adjusting at all. It's just us going back to our culture, our original way, and being who we are. We cannot adjust to another people's culture just to be comfortable in it. You know what I'm saying? I just wanted to say that real quick. But the whole Bible situation, that's a whole other topic that, you know, we probably can cover another time or something like that.
Okay, that's cool. That's not a problem. But, I mean, you know what? It's almost that time. Did anybody, Brother J, Crazy B, me too, did you guys want to share something? Did y'all want to say anything from Clear the Line?
Well, I think first and foremost, education is the key. Educating yourself. We have all these outlets to utilize the Internet. You know, what are you using the Internet for? There's some good programs on television, but what you watching on television? So, I mean, it starts from if you want to raise a child to be knowledgeable and to be, you know, successful in this crucial world that we're living in, I think that education is the key and how, you know, what you know, surround this child from, and then also educating your people, your friends, your family. And, you know, if we're going to move forward, you know, you definitely need to know your past. And even with, you know, culture, listen, right, we don't have a culture. Hip-hop is our culture. It comes from Africa, from the African drum. It has, you know, basically manifested itself into something else, you know, over the years and time. But we also got to remember we have hip-hop as our culture, and that comes from Africa. You know, if you do your history on where hip-hop culture, they from the Bronx, but if you speak to the elders and the founders, you find out where the culture is from. And we got to know our roots, because even, like I said, if you don't know your roots, where are you going to go in the near future? How are you going to teach your kids where you know, about their history? Or you know, I mean, and go back to the motherland. Go back to the motherland. I mean, you got tribes and all type of things going on in the motherland that are still traditional to this day. You know, go do your history. That's what I say.
This is Matt too. Right quick, I'll chime in. In the original question, does racism still exist? Absolutely. I don't think racism is necessarily a bad thing. We've been taught that.
Right.
And there's an elder, Dr. Bobby Wright. He said, we have just one problem now. He said, we in a race war, and we the only ones who don't know it. Mm-hmm. Not only do we don't know it, we the only ones that don't know who we are. Yeah? Okay, so.
Well, I have to say this. Let me finish.
This is my opinion. Y'all can, you know, do what you want to do with it. Throw it in the trash can. Race is absolutely important. Black's philosophy should start with race, and it should end with race. And I think that is one of the key elements we must use to be successful in a world that is race-based. It always has been, and it always will be.
Thank you, Mr. Go ahead, Tim.
You do have a valid point. We are in a race war, but I think we are in a war of souls in the same breath of air. You know, when you turn around and you sit back and you look at the world collectively within itself, we are in a war of just ourselves. I mean, you got to really understand, man. An individual himself can tear himself down. Nobody else has to come along and tear you down. You tear yourself down if you do not understand even your own self-worth, If you do not understand your own self-worth, you'll tear your own self down at the end of the day. So, yes, we're in a race war, but we're in a war of souls. It is the good versus the evil that is fighting against you. It is the good against the evil fighting against you. So how do you get out of that? How do you get out of that mental state? That's all I want to know. How do you get out of that mental state?
Okay, well, we got to ask that question. Well, LB, we got to ask that question on next segment, man, because you know we got that much time. We got to let one more get in.
Let me leave off with this. Like I said earlier, there's no adjusting to this at all. There's no adjusting. All of this has been done before. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we have to know what we're fighting for, because all of this stuff has been done before from the 50s, 60s, 70s. We ain't seen no progress out of none of it. You know what I'm saying? We have to really get out there, like the brother said, study, like you were saying, Hidden Colors 1 and 2. You know what I'm saying? I stress you, brothers, to really pick those up. You know what I'm saying? Because there's a lot of stuff up in there that Black people should know, you know, about themselves. But like I said, there's no adjusting to racism at all, because all of this has been done before. We need a new strategy around it. We can't make the same mistakes that Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, and I mean, I love them, but we can't make the same mistakes that they made, because we're going to end up just going in another cycle doing it again.
Okay. All right, well, Brother Tim, man, thank you, man, for elaborating on that for me, man. You brothers, man, I want to thank all y'all, man, for tuning in and chiming in, man. I really appreciate it all, man. Man, we're going to have to set something up, man. We can get a round table with all you strong, powerful people, man, and see what we can do to work with each other from across the world. We got Facebook, MySpace, all that stuff. I know we don't do MySpace no more, Twitter. But, man, thank you, brothers, man. I appreciate that, man. But, man, my closing remarks are, man, is this, man. There's still racism in America today. Absolutely. So it's just really not the word racism to me is kind of changing. I think it's more so is racism with each other. I guess where you at? African-Americans with African-Americans don't like each other. Caucasians and Caucasians don't like each other. You know, I think they all have their own. And so when they get their energy, I guess they push it out. But this here, man, is a real big topic, man, and it's real touchy for everyone. I just condone that, you know, to try to get the racism up out of you is to try to connect with each other. Amongst our Black African-Americans here is to, you know, check that movie out, Hidden Colors 1 and 2. I want to thank everybody for listening in. I want to thank everybody for trying to call in but couldn't really get through. I do apologize for the guys that couldn't really get it in, and I didn't want to cut nobody off because I wanted everybody to try to get their point across. I want to thank that sister for calling in. It seems like if we get more guys and one female to come in and just tear it up. I want to thank that sister, too, for calling in as well, man. But don't forget, February 10th, man, we're going to bring the relations, the real in relations. That's February 10th, Christ Church and Family Fellowship, 6952. And I want to just let y'all know, man, your boy, Sleep Dilla, Dennis West, whatever you want to call me, go to Western World One, W-O-N-E, that's W-E-S-T-O-N, W-O-R-L-D, O-N-E, worldone.com. And just click on radio show, man, you get this. As soon as this recording is over, y'all can just go to the archive and just pick this right up, or just hit the Facebook page, man. LB, thank you, brother. Brother Tim, Brother Case, and the rest of you guys, man. Thank y'all, man. I really appreciate it. Till next week, we in it. And don't forget to comment, man. Leave comments. Comments, man. We want to know if we working hard or we hardly working. All right, other than that, man, peace, love, soul, and everything else. I holla. 100.
Dennis Lies. Let's go. Dennis Lies.